Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. We're back in studio live for you guys today, and hope you guys enjoy the show today. Got a lot of big articles we're going to be covering. And also, too, thank you again for the continued support and emails. I've been going through them today. I was actually reading some earlier. I know Dad's getting caught up on his. He's back in town. And just continually getting the truth out there alongside of us. We appreciate all the support. If you guys saw, you voted, it won, product of the week, zinc glycinate. We're going to go over some of the health benefits of this and why it was such an important product to keep in your arsenal at Health Masters. And I have it up on the website today on sale for product of the week, probably later on this afternoon is when I usually like to change it. Right now, currently, B-Complex is still on sale up on the front page of the website, but that will be changing over probably the next couple hours. So if you want to grab it, grab it before I change it. But the zinc glycinate will be popping up here soon at healthmasters.com. So again, thank you for the continued support. I saw an article here earlier, and it was going into detail now about the 9 functions of zinc. And what's interesting about this is, according to the study published in the Scientific Report, 1 out of 7 people actually suffer from zinc deficiency, which is interesting because zinc is an essential nutrient your body cannot manufacture and it cannot store. The body's constantly using it up, and essentially what it does, it use, it excretes. And a lot of foods do have small amounts of zinc in them, but on top of that, when you're looking at it, it's such an abundant trace element that there's, and it's needed so much that a lot of times we're not getting near enough in our food whatsoever. And some of the main purposes of what zinc does, one of the first things that regulates gene expression. Basically, it goes in here and it talks about how human genes can't be changed, but their expression can be regulated. And the regulation of gene expression determines how healthy we are. Zinc is crucial in this factor. Also, two activities. Affects activities of more than 300 enzymes in the body. Zinc affects the actions of more than 300 enzymes, thereby influencing metabolism, nerves, digestion, immunity, and other physiological processes. On top of that, it regulates and enhances immune function. Now, this one's key and huge. This is why we had it in the immune support kit with the zinc, the D3, and the vitamin C with the COVID stack that we'd put together years ago, because it's so important to maintain a healthy immune function. Also, too, it's super important for hair, nails, and skin. As most people know, if you've done your own research, zinc is one of the key contributing nutrients that helps prevent graying hair as you get older, and it also helps hair grow stronger, thicker, and fuller. Another one, too, is it helps affect growth, development in the reproduction system and sexual function in the body. Zinc is abundant in the pituitary gland, which helps promote the secretion of growth hormone. So if you're trying to increase growth hormone production in the body, zinc's crucial for that. And if anybody knows about growth hormone with like the HGH stimulant we have, what it does is repairing muscle tissue, increasing energy, overall health, super important. It also can improve taste and smell, which is interesting. A lot of people lost that with COVID. It also acts as an anti-inflammatory and antioxidant that regulates the nervous system, and it promotes healthy brain development. And what's interesting about this is a lot of people don't realize is that people that are very prone to zinc deficiency are pregnant or lactating mothers, and also babies that are raised exclusively on breast milk of those women. Because again, zinc cannot be stored, and it is an element that is used so abundantly in the body, it is crucial you take adequate amounts of it on a regular basis, especially if you're very active and especially if you're pregnant or breastfeeding. But I want to kind of bring a few of those things up because a lot of times people fail to realize how important zinc is, and it's such a cost-effective, important nutrient, and most people are shocked on how much better they feel when they get adequate and zinc in their body on a daily basis. Dad, what do you think about that, and how are you doing this morning?
Zinc. I've been taking it for a long, long time. I remember when I started Health Masters decades ago, one of the things that I really was promoting was zinc because of what it does. A lot of guys, and this is just kind of an interesting comment to make on this, it massively, massively increases libido. And I had so many guys who were calling me up, and even in their 20s, and saying, my libido's gone, I have no libido, and I need to know what to do. And I said, take zinc and vitamin E. It also helps turn the hair back, keep the hair there, its original color, keeps stop graying of hair. I've been taking it for a long time, for decades, and I love the stuff. I take it every single day. I take a 1 in the morning and 1 in the evening, and that's plenty because our product is very, very strong. What's interesting about this too, and this is fascinating to me. You know, when the egg and the sperm meet, a spark is created. That spark is like the spark of life. I guess it's the soul entering the body. I don't know what it is. The scientists remain baffled because there's like an electrical discharge when they meet and the eggs become fertilized. And the intensity of the spark and the brightness of the spark depends on the amount of zinc in the sperm. And if you have very little zinc, the spark's very, very dim. if you have a lot of zinc, it's extremely bright for the scientists. And I always found that fascinating. So zinc is one of those compounds, like Austin said, it's water soluble, doesn't get stored in the body. And if you don't take it on a regular basis, you become zinc deficient very quickly. Also, I found that it helps the prostate because the prostate needs a lot of zinc. And if you don't have enough zinc in the system, the prostate starts having issues. So it helps prostates to stay healthy. It helps to increase libido, helps keep the hair from turning gray, and it helps to make the spark of life even brighter. Plus, it is used in hundreds of biochemical reactions and functions in the body. It's essential. That's why these are called essential minerals. And what people don't realize is when zinc is not put into the food supply via the crops, via fertilizer, the soil becomes deficient in zinc. So the soil does not contain zinc. So when the plant is being grown, it contains no zinc or very little zinc, and it doesn't supply the needs of zinc. That's the problem you have when you have farming that doesn't rotate crops and doesn't use organic fertilizer. You have deficiencies in a lot of these minerals. And so zinc is one of those that you have to use on a regular basis. Again, massively increases libido. So when you stack this with HGH stimulates and vitamin E, and if you need to use Testaplex, and if you use Tonganali, it's a phenomenal stack. And I'm also going to tell you more about that too if you'd like. But by the way, Boeing is in big trouble. We talked about this yesterday. Even CNN's reporting on this now. They're a walking disaster. You think Boeing is already miserable? It's already miserable. 2024 couldn't get any worse. But on Monday, a 787 Dreamliner plunged suddenly mid-flight, injuring dozens of passengers after a pilot said he temporarily lost control of the aircraft. Now, the problem with this is, let me just tell you what happens with these big planes. You know, on the plane that I owned, you know, I would have my controls, and they were connected by wires to the wings, or you know, wires to the rudder, you know, for your feet, and everything was connected by wires, and so there was no electronic, how should I say, computer telling it what to do. These planes aren't like that. These planes have electronic controls that connect to electric motors on these different types of, you know, the rudders and on the ailerons. And what happens is when you tell it what to do, the motor, the transfer, there's a switch, a electrical charge switch that turns on those particular functions. And if the electrical stuff goes out, those functions don't work. So you can sit here and play with your controls all you want. It simply doesn't work. And so that's the biggest problem they have. And so we also had a problem a couple of years ago with a 737 MAX, in which they're called pita tubes, what they're called, and they sit on the front of the airplane, and if one of them gets plugged up, the other one functions fine. And what it's designed to do is determine if the plane is about to go into a stall. And so if the plane starts going up too fast and it starts to lose lift off the wings, it'll start falling backwards. It's a stall. So the pita tube would tell the controls automatically to drop the nose to pick up speed, to not excel, not to climb as quick. The problem was, they decided, I guess, in a cost-cutting measure, instead of having two pita tubes, one as a redundancy and as a backup, they decided only have one pita tube as far as for the stall and stall. So what happened, if this thing got plugged up, if a bird hit it, or if debris got in it, or trash got in it, or whatever, a balloon got in it, right? Anything, it would tell the controls that you were in a stall. In other words, it would tell you to drop the nose. And if the problem is, if you keep dropping the nose and you don't straighten the nose back out, you end up, you know, impacting the ground. And that's what happened. A bunch of several of these 737 MAXs, the pilots couldn't regain control because the pita tube had gotten plugged or something had happened. And everybody on board died. And so it was a major problem with the 737 MAX. Now, I believe they've corrected that now. And the problem is that Boeing, when they came out with the 737, they just modified the existing 737 to make the 737 MAX, and they didn't have to go through the very, very strict FAA guidelines as far as a new aircraft would have to. It was a modification on a plane. And the pilots weren't trained properly on how to turn off the controls in order to get the plane to straighten back out again. And so now we have 737s right now, and a 787 plunged suddenly in mid-flight, injuring dozens of passengers after a pilot said he temporarily lost control of the aircraft. I explained all that to tell you that. The pilot was able to recover and land the plane safely, but it's not yet clear what caused the LATMA flight from Australia to New Zealand to basically fall so suddenly and dramatically. They called it a technical event, probably something like I just discussed with you. Boeing said he's working to gather more information, but it's not news Boeing management or the flying public needed to know right now. Wow. The company, I'm going to repeat that. Boeing said it's working to gather more information, but it's not news Boeing's management or the flying public needed right now. Okay. You're on an airplane and you start going down, kind of need to know what happened, and the flying public's kind of pretty upset about this. The company's non-streak bad news began the first weekend of the year when part of an Alaskan 737 MAX, again, that prop plane again, blew off the side of the plane just after takeoff. The preliminary federal investigation revealed that Boeing probably did not put the bolts, the so-called door plug, that are designed to prevent the part from blowing off of the plane. That incident resulted in temporary nationwide grounding of certain 737 MAX jets, followed by congressional hearings, production and delivery delays, multiple federal investigations, including a criminal probe, and a stock that has lost a quarter of its value this year, shaving more than $40 billion off the company's market value. Between the lawsuits, the potential fines, and lost business, Boeing could lose billions more dollars from the blowout. But the bad news didn't stop there. In February, pilots on the United Airlines 737 MAX reported the flight controls jammed on the plane in Newark. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating. 2 weeks ago, the Federal Aviation Administration flagged safety issues with the de-icing equipment on the 737 MAX and the 787 Dreamliner models that could cause the engines to lose thrust. In other words, basically shut down. The FAA is allowing the planes to continue flying. Of course they are. And Boeing said the problem does not pose an immediate safety risk. Okay, not an immediate safety risk. We're in the middle of a bunch of ice now, you know, this time of the year.
Safe and effective.
You know, it says it's de-icing equipment, 737 MAX and 787, that they could cause engines to lose thrust, but that's not an immediate safety risk. You know, the thing I don't understand is what is wrong. Okay, I've got it. It's diversity hires. The goal here to fix everything with Boeing is to hire more transgenders. That's the goal.
There you go. And that fixes everything.
No,
man.
You just put more trannies in the cockpit, put more trannies in maintenance, and you get, and, you know, and this is the problem. You start putting people in to positions of authority and power and maintenance who aren't totally trained because of their skin color, because of their sexual preferences, whatever they may be, as weird as it gets. At that point in time, why don't you just hire people that can keep the planes in the air and not have them start going into all these, you know, crazy noses diving, lost control of the plane, all the rest of the stuff. Boeing is a serious, serious, serious problem. And in fact, that's not enough. Another guy who was basically and my condolences to the family, a Boeing whistleblower is found dead of an apparent suicide. Yeah. This is a horrible story. March the 12th, John Barnett, the former Boeing employee who had reportedly raised concerns about the company's production issues, was found dead in an apparent suicide, according to authorities in South Carolina. Barnett had worked on the Boeing for 32 years before leaving the company in 2017. He was trying to raise issues about the company's production issues. The 62-year-old died of this, so this report, of a self-inflicted gunshot wound, the Charleston County coroner's office said. He said he was basically right now in the middle of depositions. That's right.
Yeah.
Barnett was in the middle of a deposition. I'm not making any speculation here. Barnett was in the middle of a deposition in an ongoing whistleblower retaliation case against Boeing, according to a statement his attorneys had said. He was in very good spirits and is really looking forward to putting this phase of his life behind him and moving on. We didn't see any indication he would take his own life. No one can believe it, they said. Barnett was a quality control manager at Boeing. He had exposed very serious safety problems with the Boeing 787 Dreamliner and was retaliated against and subjected to a hostile work environment, his attorney said. Now, I'm not going to make any further comments. I don't know what happened to the guy. My condolences to this family. And, you know, the coincidence is pretty strange here, right in the middle of this whistleblower case, right in the middle of, you know, deposition. So we have a situation here where Boeing's in trouble. They know they're in trouble. And, again, it's a major industry in the United States, and it's a major production facility for manufacturing of aircraft. But I always remember what AOC said.
Oh, yeah.
We have to basically stop the airplanes. We have to stop flying and all the rest of the stuff that she said. And so, you know, I thought when she was saying it, as we mentioned before, also that she was completely and totally insane. But apparently, you know, her prophecy, if you want to say that, or whatever you want to call it, her hunch is coming true now that a major industry that produces these massive aircraft can no longer do proper maintenance on them or build them properly in the United States. And so now every time I fly, I always ask when I schedule the flight, what's the equipment we're using? That's the term you use. And if they say it's a 737 MAX, my response is always, let's find another plane. Let's find another route. I don't want to use that equipment.
Well, no, there's definitely an issue going on here. What's interesting, I was reading some of the stuff earlier this week about Mr. Barnett and what he was bringing up, and he was talking about all types of just areas where they were pretty much going in now, and parts that were supposed to be be put on certain planes, they were just overlooking safety precautions.
And they were installing safety seals using like a liquid detergent.
Correct. Stuff that was not set up properly for these airlines.
They were using hotel key cards to determine, you know, the distances as far as rubber seals. It's mind boxing.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking like these are some little, you know, some garage built planes that, you know, some mom and pops are putting together some little fly by wire plane. These are planes that are carrying hundreds of people across continents, all across the world. And he brought this stuff up. And I mean, the fact that he was right in the middle of formal depositions this week and everything that was going on.
So strange.
Very strange. And again, my condolences to the family as well. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting, as we were wondering, you know, how a lot of the funding has been executed through these groups that have been coming in and infiltrating the United States through the southern border. And remember, I told you guys, I brought this topic up for the last couple of years when they talk about, oh, there's 50,000 people in this migrant caravan that are coming down from Argentina and from Chile. They're coming up to the southern border. And I talked to you guys about, you know, 2,000-plus-mile foot trek and where people getting the cash to buy all the shoes from and all the food and all the water and all the supplies, bringing 50,000 people, 2,000-plus miles, 2,500 miles. That's not just some little, oh, we're just going to go for a walk this weekend. That's an arduous task in order to maintain that, including funding that, feeding that, taking care of that. And now there's an article that came out now. This is crazy. As millions of Americans struggle to make ends meet, the Biden regime has been handing out loans to illegal alien migrants around the world so they can travel to the United States. The program through the United Nations IOM migration program has now come out, where people are actually getting full disclosure on this, which works in partnership with the United States Refugee Emission Program. The Biden regime is handing out U.S. taxpayer cash to illegal aliens at zero interest with zero penalties. Once in the U.S., these illegal aliens never actually have to pay back the loans. According to the program's website, you can look this up. I'll put the link to the website on our Health Masters. They said they are called, and I quote, penalty and interest-free loans, which are not available to anybody in the United States, by the way. Go to the bank next week and ask them for a penalty and interest-free loan and see what they say to you. They're going to laugh at you hysterically. They're literally going to look at you and laugh. And so essentially, they only require illegals to sign a promissory note, a signature note, prior to leaving their homeland, promising to pay back the loan. Should they never pay back the loan, there's no penalties attached. The IOM arranges travel for refugees using funds furnished by the Department of State and is mandated to subsequently receive refugees' payments on behalf of the Department of State, although it clearly states on the same site that there are no penalties for non-repayments. Repayments are remitted to a revolving fund created between the Department of State and IOM by using the Bureau of Population, Refugee, and Migration to defray the cost of the future refugee travel, meaning they know they're not getting repaid on this, so they're taking money that's allocated for the Department of State. They're loaning it out with no penalties and no interest to these groups that are going through the United Nations now. They're handing these guys upwards of $10,000 sometimes. Signature note, sign this note, here's $10,000. There's no penalty, there's no interest on it. But, you know, you should really pay it back. You know, it's the right thing to do. You should eventually pay this note back. But if you don't, there's no penalties and there's no interest. And what's crazy about this is that numerous individuals in Congress now are talking about how unbelievably corrupt this program is and how the House needs to completely stop any of this funding. But the problem that you run into, and this is what's happened now, as we've seen, when you have these alphabet agencies and the Department of, you know, the Bureau of Labor and the ATF and the DEA and the EPA, all these groups now, they operate, they're independent. They get one specific funding from, say, Congress. They say, okay, your funding is going to be $50 billion this year. Well, then these alphabet agencies have the discretion of whatever they want to do with these funds. Congress doesn't come in and start limiting what they can do, where you're only allowed to spend X amount of money here, X amount of money here, X amount of money here. They just get one giant lump sum for these groups that are allocated for these alphabet agencies. And as we see now, we actually have the Department of – this is the crazy part to me. You have the Department of State actually funding these individuals to come here with taxpayer money through their budgetary process, that they're coming in and saying now there's no penalties or interest on it. So lest you think this is a concerted effort – to massively invade the United States, best believe it's exactly what you think it is. Also, too, in other news, this is an interesting article discussing vitamin D how vitamin D could actually help treat young people with type 1 diabetes and improve insulin production. This is wild. The new study that just came out shows vitamin D improves the function of insulin-producing cells and extends what they call the honeymoon phase of the condition in young people. They go on to say here, it was published in the JAMA Network Open last week. They said high doses of D3 improved the function of insulin-producing beta cells in children and young adults recently diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. They go on to say here, the exciting to know that vitamin D could actually protect the beta cells of the pancreas and increase the production and functional insulin in these patients. The team uncovered vitamin D's effects on diabetes by conducting a 12-month trial with 36 youth between the ages of 10 and 21. The average age participants were 13 years old. During the trial, the team randomly provided participants with either dose of basically vitamin D or placebo. The research team found that taking the vitamin D supplement helped the body reduce the proinsulin and the C-peptide ratio and delayed the loss of C-peptide more than the placebo. When C-peptide is present, the body is still producing insulin. In other words, the young people's body made insulin that worked in a way it was supposed to work. They said slowing down the C-peptide loss and improving the function of insulin-producing cells could extend the honeymoon phase of type 1 diabetes, which is a critical time of type 1 diabetes when treatment options determine the long-term outlook of the disease, especially for young people. This is crazy. This is really, really good news. And on top of that, it goes to show you again why D3 is so important. And then it kind of, the question they don't bring up in this article is, could it be, could this possibly be a possible link now in the future with more research that D3 deficiency, extreme deficiency in young children, Dad, could be linking back now to causing an issue with type 1 diabetes? Could this be something that some of these children all have low D3 levels in their body, possibly at birth and older?
You know, Austin, I had not seen that article, and I'm listening to you read it. And to me, I find that fascinating.
Very fascinating.
Because, I mean, when I had the clinic, you know, I had it for years. We see up to 40 patients a day on busy days. And I had several people bringing their children who were, you know, juvenile diabetics, type 1. And we were able to monitor and change the dietary habits of these kids and actually reduce the amount of insulin they were having to be given. We could never find a way to fix it.
Right.
Because the islets of Langerhans stopped producing the insulin. And so if you have D3 as a primary deficiency causing some of these issues, I find that fascinating. Now, we're not making any claims here whatsoever. We're not telling you the D3 is going to cure.
No, I'm just reporting on the article.
We're reading the article to you. But the D3 is so important that God allowed us to make it ourselves if we get sunlight. If we have enough sun, we make our own D3. The problem is because of geoengineering, because of sunscreen, because of people walking around with umbrellas in the sunshine, because everybody's concerned about skin cancer in so many cases, in which some cases is a very true concern. You know, people are avoiding the sunshine and not getting enough vitamin D3 being manufactured by our body. But that's how important it is. I'm going to step it back one notch because I've never done this on the video, and I'll tell you this very quickly. If you have this is zinc, but we're not going to, we'll pretend like this is a this is a macrophage. Right? This is a blood cell that specializes in destroying viruses and cancer, et cetera. And on the bottom of this macrophage, there are two sugar molecules, or like on switches. And the only thing that turns these two on switches on at the same time is vitamin D3. And without D3, this macrophage can't go in and target cells and eat cancer cells or kill up viruses, get rid of viruses in the body. So this little submarine in our body is looking at this cancer cell. It can't attack it because it doesn't have any D3, because that's the safety thing. The body doesn't want to run around eating everything. And so it sends up flares. They're called cytokines, and they start telling other macrophages to come over and attack the cancer cell. But when the other macrophages get there, they don't have any D3 either. So they're like in a quandary now. They're all kind of like, well, we don't know what to do. And so that's called the cytokine storm. Then they all start sending up cytokines, these chemical messengers, and pretty soon you have inflammation of the lungs, you have swelling of the lungs, you have fluid in the lungs. All of this stuff happens very, very quickly, especially with ammonia, because of a lack of D3. And what ends up happening, that D3, if it's not there, it can't affect it directly affects the immune system. It has to be there to turn on the macrophage or the specialized white blood cell. So I find it ironic now that they're saying that the D3 helps protect the pancreas. Maybe it's the macrophage part of this. I don't know. All I know is that when a child comes down with, you know, juvenile diabetes, it's a real problem for that child because that insulin is a salt, and they're injecting that insulin in their bodies every single day. If they're insulin dependent, which is type 1, what's going to happen is they have all types of cardiovascular problems as they get older. And, you know, they call diabetic retinopathy, they go blind, they have amputations, all of this stuff from the diabetes and because of the insulin being a salt drying out these blood vessels, especially the tiny little the tiny little capillaries. So when I start reading this stuff and you start talking about that as far as D3 with juvenile diabetes, it's fascinating to me. So again, it says how important is prenatal nutrition, because D3 is water, it is fat soluble, it stores in the body. So how important is it for that mother to take enough D3 while she's pregnant? Because you were telling me Lana had to take a lot of D3.
All the time. 20,000 IUs is what we kept the dosage at. Two of the D3 10,000 K2 that we carry. And what's ironic is when we went to the midwife last time, she was very happy with her levels because Lana's levels stayed around like 45 or 50 in her blood levels. And what's funny though is the midwife told us, she said, you would be shocked on how many mothers come in here and they're extremely deficient in D3, and they don't even know it. They get blood work done for the first time or for the first time in a while. They've never had D3 tested before. Pregnant, your D3 is at 7. You've got to go on like a hyper dose of D3 immediately. Midwife said this. She said it happens all the time, and a lot of it, again, is exactly what you said, with the geoengineering, with the sunlight, with the sunscreen, with the lack of it in any of our food nowadays, like you said earlier.
Well, and one more thing too with the D3. A lot of children are being born with cancer.
Yeah,
I mean, they're being born with cancer. I mean, at age 14 and under, other than that, well, supplement or some product that your body can't manufacture. So you've got vitamin C, you've got zinc that we're holding here. We've got, we've got D3. All of these nutrients are critical for children and for proper development for these kids. I can't tell you how many kids I know, their brains just don't work. Either it's from the vaccines, it's from it's from the parents, it's because of the junk food, it's
horrible diet,
syrup. It's the red dyes and blue dyes. I mean, they want to live on taffy. Who eats taffy? Who does that? They want to live on taffy and high fructose corn syrup. And I mean, a good meal for these kids is like a cheeseburger with real beef. I'm not being facetious now. That's a good meal. Because the rest of their meals are absolutely horrific.
Hot dogs
and ding-dongs and sweet cakes and cupcakes and taffy. And their teeth are rotting out. They can't think. They're doing terrible in school. But yet here they sit here and they go, oh, I want to buy some more taffy. The other day I was, with some friends, and they let one of the kids go into a store, and they were going on a trip, and the kid comes out with $20 worth of just junk. I mean, just junk.
Just candy.
Of course, the kid's on ADD medicine, ADHD medicine, red dyes, blue dyes, chemicals, high fructose corn syrup. And I thought to myself, wow.
Well, then they wonder why their teeth are rotting out. I had a good buddy of mine that I haven't seen in a while. He's kind of did his own thing, but he had a daughter, and I had talked to him about it one time. He got a little irritated with me, and she was really, really nice daughter. She hung out with the kids a lot on a regular basis. But what was funny is one time she was laughing, and Hunter saw all these fillings in her mouth. She had all these mercury fillings in there, had like 7 or 8 of them. And the girl's only like 8 or 9 years old. And Hunter's like, what is all this? She goes, I had cavities, this and that. And I talked to her dad about it. I said, dude, why is it? He's like, she had like 8 or 9 cavities. She's 8 or 9 cavities. She's 8 or 9 years old. How in the heck do you get that many cavities at that age? Well, right there, eating taffy, drinking high fructose corn syrup soda, eating sugar, candy, cupcakes all day. And the problem is, on top of this, majority of the time when children eat this type of diet, they also lack water in their diet. Most kids will not drink water. If they're used to drinking Coca-Cola all day and apple juice and all the other nasty sugary drinks, they're not drinking water. One of the main things, one of the biggest, easiest things you could do, if you're eating something that's sugary or sweet, you're eating ice cream, you're eating candy, which I'm not sitting here recommending, but if you do, when you get done eating it, make sure you drink a decent amount of water, not only to help dilute some of the sugar in your body, but also, too, to rinse your teeth out. Make sure you swish your mouth out. Make sure you get the sugar out of this by your gums and your molars if you got candy, especially gummy candy. That's crucial. And that's one of the reasons why you see so many of these kids now at a young age have all these cavities, and it's just normal. Oh, they're like half a dozen cavities. He's 8, 9 years old, and you're like, that's not normal. Why in the world? Well, if you look at their diet, you'll find out very quickly. Human beings were not designed to consume the amount of processed sugar. Our bodies were not designed for it. Sugar out in elements in certain foods and certain fruits, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But what people don't realize is the sugar that's in a lot of these foods, it's so heavily processed, like the high fructose corn syrup, it's impossible to get that level of sugar and that small amount of food in nature. It doesn't exist. You can't get 100 grams of sugar in, a lollipop that big, because – It doesn't exist. There's no way to get that much concentrated sugar eating anything even remotely that small. You'd have to eat, you know, bags and bags and bags and bags and bags of fruit. And on top of that, you're going to get natural fruit sugar and natural fructose. You're not going to be getting high fructose corn syrup. So very, very crucial. Make sure the kids are taking supplements. Make sure they're drinking water. The vitamin D3, we have it in the liquid form and we have it in the capsule form. The liquid form is great because you can use it with young children. Put it in their food, put it in their drink, put it in their oatmeal, put it in their applesauce, whatever. And then also, two, the omega-3 fat, the strawberry cod liver oil, and the ultimate multiple chewable. Those three things right there that we put together for the kids stack is so effective, so easy, so simple, and it tastes great. All three of those products, well, you only taste the D3. The strawberry cod liver will actually taste good, and the chewable multiple, the kids love those. They think they're like sweet tarts. It's so, I mean, they're really good ultimate multiple.
Well, also, if you're going to get your D3 or take D3 supplemental, you need to check it in your blood. Every 3 to 6 months, you need to get a blood test, and it's simple. It's a very inexpensive test. And I can't tell you how many people I have spoken to, and I mean like literally everybody that has had cancer, everybody.
Yeah.
And I asked them what their D3 levels are.
A lot of them don't know.
They don't know.
They never know. Yeah.
And I said, well, has the doctor tested it? They call the doctor up. Well, I see no need to test it for, test your D3. If the D3 is the primary component that activates macrophages and helps the body to kill cancer, why would you not test it to see if it's there? The problem is they don't know what I told you about the macrophages. They're not taught that. And so they're basically just running blind based on the pharmaceutical education and then continuing education from pharmaceutical companies. You know, interesting about it, Robert Downey Jr. came out with a book, you know, Iron Man, right? And he basically got a, you know, I guess he got an Oscar for Oppenheimer for Best Supporting Actor. And he did a good job in that movie, but I wouldn't recommend that movie to people. It's just, there's a lot of stuff in there that I don't agree with as far as I think it was just a lot of published nonsense as far as rewriting history. But that's my opinion. But he wrote a book, and he basically is now being slammed because it is saying that it basically should be included with reducing car and air travel and avoiding running appliances like dishwashers.
There we go.
Okay, because he's telling you to like eat real food. But the majority of the recommendations revolve around food and diet. Eating meat has also been shown to increase gases, these ozone gases, by as much as 25 times. Here we go. However, experts say the authors are ill-equipped to offer nutrition advice as it appears that a dietitian did not vet the recommendations. They should have stayed in the sustainability lane. There we go. So now he's getting slammed because he didn't stay in the sustainability lane. I am not recommending this book. I have not read it. I'm just saying that I thought it was interesting. They would come in and they would talk about this now. And because he's putting a book out on health and diet, et cetera, that they're slamming him. He's telling people apparently they're saying to eat tree bark, which is like pycnogenol, which is a really good antioxidant. And they're saying that there are other things he could have suggested that people do besides eat bark off a tree. Now, I mean, this is ironic. I mean, pycnogenol has been around a long, long time.
It's actually a really good product.
It's a really good product. Support. It really is a good product. But the problem is that they don't want anybody to know what a good product this is. Because remember, the petrochemical pharmaceutical corporations that run the planet that are owned by Rothschild banking cartel, bloodline families, and the Kabbalah synagogue of Satan, they don't want you healthy. They want you as sick as they can possibly make you because that way you feed the medical complex. And when they start telling you not to take certain nutrients and certain nutritional supplements, you probably need to take those. You need to do the opposite. You know, my mom, she was basically out of Germany and she'd gone through the war. And I remember she didn't really know how to raise kids. My parents got divorced when we were young. And I remember she made a lot of choices that I didn't agree with as a child or as an adult right now. And I would always sit there and think when I would make a decision with my younger children, what would mom have done? And I think through, I go, well, let's not do it that way. And so, and I'm not picking on my mom. You know, she's saved. She's in heaven with God. But I'm just saying that some people are better parents than other parents. And, you know, I spoke at her funeral. She was a, you know, great woman. She taught me a lot of really good values as far as work ethic and working hard, et cetera. So I'm just saying that from a child rearing standpoint, she really had no, she was the only child. So it was difficult for her to know what to do. So the problem that you run into is this. When the medical people that are out there in leadership roles wearing their white coats, their stethoscopes, having on their clergy gown, if you could call it that, and this is the crucifix they wear with the stethoscopes, they want to act like they're some kind of God giving you the proclamation of life and death. You'll be dead within 30 days. They don't know that. They really don't know that. That's just a prognosis. That's an educated guess is all it is. When they do all of this stuff and they don't even tell you to take D3, or they tell you, oh, you shouldn't even take vitamins. They don't work, blah, blah, blah. All you have is expensive urine. Why is the leading cause of death in children age 14 and under, other than accidents, cancer? ask yourself that question. Why is it over about 1 in 30 right now children have ADD or ADHD? It used to be 1 in 10,000. And why are they saying now that by 2030, 35, that 100% of the children will have some type of learning disorder because of all the chemicals and all the drugs and all the shots they're being given, in my opinion? Why are these statistics so horrific, but yet they're telling us everything is fine, everything is fine, everything is good? It reminds me of that movie, and I mentioned this the other day, and I'm not recommending this movie either. Don't Look Up. It was done on cable only. And it was an interesting movie about a meteorite coming to the planet. And there was this one weirdo scientist, like a pedophile weirdo. And he was sitting there, and every time they'd say something, no problem here, everything is fine, everything is fine. It's like he's like a just a strange dude. And what he was doing was basically lying to everyone about everything is fine. And he keeps saying, "Oh, I can fix this. I can fix it." He couldn't fix anything. The whole planet got destroyed in the end. If you want me to ruin the plot for you, that's what happened.
Spoiler alert.
And so the problem is that this is the kind of people that we put in positions of power. And this guy was telling the president of the United States what to do. Imagine that. Imagine that doesn't happen either, does it? Of course it does. So all of this stuff is going on right now around us. So you have to ask yourself a question. Why are certain people put in positions of leadership? Why are they given unlimited bandwidth? Why do they have these massive shows? Why are they being paid tens of millions of dollars a year? I'll tell you why. In cases, I think it's a rhetorical question. In many cases, not all cases, a lot of these guys are on the CIA payroll, period. And they're being used as basically disinformation agents. They'll put out 90% truth. They'll put out 10% fake stuff. And everybody, because they believe the 90%, believe the other 10% fake stuff. And this is how it happens in alt media now. That's why the vast majority of alt media won't talk about the stuff that we talk about. We're not on CIA payroll, by the way, just in case. I'm sure you guys all know that. I'm sure they absolutely loathe us. But remember, they got witches on payroll. Just thought I'd mention that. And so all of these crazy things are part of the world that we live in today. But that's why here on the Ted and Austin Brower Show, we do the best we possibly can to bring you news. Now, is it always accurate? Not all the time. Most of the time it is. Probably 99% of the time it is. And if it's bad enough, we'll retract the story the following day. And I've actually gone in. We've got bad intel and stuff they sent us. And I'll actually pull a show down and say, I'll just tell our producer, delete the broadcast. It's done. And he goes, oh, okay. Because I don't want it out there if it's not 100% accurate. And we've only had to do it a few times. But we have done that. So, and we had a guest on one time. And the guest was horrific. And I deleted a broadcast. He was on for about 25 minutes. I pulled him off after about 25 after. And after the show was over with, I called Todd up and I said, delete it. Don't post any of it. So the guy was put out disinformation. He came highly recommended. I didn't think he was going to do that. That's why you wonder why we have very few guests, because that was a learning curve for me on that one. So we did the best we possibly can, doing extensive research every single day to try to bring you the stories and give you our view on them right now. Like, here's an article right now. It says Wall Street megabanks have created a circular firing squad with credit derivatives and capital relief trades with the Fed's blessing. That's because Wall Street is owned by the Federal Reserve banks that are basically owning the Treasury, that own everything. If you watch the Exchange Stability Fund, there's a series of 7 videos online, maybe 5, I can't remember anymore. They're like 7, 10-minute snippets. Watch it on the Exchange Stability Fund, and it talks about how the Treasury is controlled by the Fed. When you understand the interlockings of this stuff, you'll understand why Wall Street banks have created a circular firing squad with credit derivatives and credit swaps and capital relief trades with the Fed's blessing, and how these banks are undercapitalized, which is what happened to us in 2008, and they've gone right back again and done the same thing, and they do it with the derivatives. And that's why we have like $1.4 quadrillion in derivatives still outstanding that was never fixed. That's 1,400 trillions. Now, think about it for a second. That's an insane amount of money that we have out there that we have no money printed for, that this stuff is just a house of cards. It's basically a Ponzi scheme. We've talked about it.
Whole thing's a Ponzi scheme. That's what I told you earlier on Monday with the Emergency Funding Act that the Fed's pulled down. You're already starting to see a lot of these discussions about these smaller banks. This whole thing is designed to be set up from the very beginning because they want to have all the big banks. They want JP Morgan. They want Chase. They want these heavy hitters to essentially absorb everything. That's why you've seen so many acquisitions and mergers over the last couple of years as far as with these big banks absorbing all these smaller banks. It's very difficult for the big banks and for the Fed to be able to control, manipulate cash, actual real cash, when you have thousands and thousands of different banks all over the country. You start bringing it down to a small conglomerate group, 8 or 9, 10, 12 major banks that control everything, and you trickle down to these smaller little branches that they have. you can start manipulating everything you want, including preventing people from being able to take cash out when they want. So again, something I've told you guys, the market's being very strange right now with everything that's been going on, and be very cautious of it right now, because I personally think there's something very big on the horizon with some very, very big, very big bank failures about to start happening, just like Silicon Valley Bank a year ago. Again, that's just my personal speculation, people I've talked to. Just be aware of it and act accordingly. Also, too, in other news, this is something interesting. Tesla's Autopilot and several other car makers' advanced driving assistance systems, which is their auto driving, you can set it on, have now earned the lowest poor markers from auto insurance trade groups, which they have said show little evidence that the systems are making highway driving any safer. Now, this is a two-pronged aspect of what I personally think they're doing right now. I've told you guys before, we had a good listener and a good customer that we met with numerous times, and he discussed the autopilot systems that have been implemented on these vehicles, starting with Tesla and many others. This is almost a decade ago. And he said that the only way for auto driving or autonomous driving to actually be safe and functional is all the vehicles on the road have to be autonomous, all of them. They all have to be tied into a 5 or 6G system, Internet of Things, where they all communicate with the platforms and each other, and all the vehicles talk essentially all the time. That's the only way. There's too many other variables where you have auto driving on the road with everybody else operating vehicles as humans. And so what I personally think they're trying to do now here is, he told me this years ago, and he said it's going to take a while. He said, but eventually what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to say the only way to make the road safe is by making all the vehicles autonomous, and every vehicle is going to drive itself. And you can see kind of the positioning where they're getting here. But right now, as far as on the forefront, a lot of these vehicles have significant problems with safety issues. I told you there was a good friend of mine. I've known him for years, been a family friend. He ended up buying with this Tesla Model Plaid, this decked out model. And it was fast. He did some launches with me on it, but it was unbelievably creepy. He had this little module he put on the steering wheel so he'd trick it, thinking somebody's touching it. He had his sunglasses on. And he had all these different apps downloaded so it'd drive by itself. And it was still doing super squirrely things on all the time, just randomly. Like, it's driving through the middle of an intersection. It gets through it. And then there was somebody that tried to walk in a crosswalk and, like, step out. And it just, like, slams on its brakes and stops in the middle of an intersection when the light's turning red. And, I mean, just really weird stuff that it does all the time. And, again, that's not for me. If somebody else wants to engage in that, I'm very sharp. My mental acuity is very good. My reflexes are incredibly fast. I feel very confident driving vehicles anywhere, everywhere. I'm not going to let AI and electric vehicle drive me around. I don't think it's something that's very conducive for safety. And as you've seen now, numerous instances, over hundreds of instances with Tesla, where people have died in these vehicles because the auto driving failed and did something it shouldn't have done. So just my personal opinion, it's something to be aware of. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, with safety and health of the overall society. And I've told you guys this, and I said it yesterday. Once you get the aspect, once you finally step out of the matrix, once you finally realize that nothing we're told from the federal government, from the pharmaceutical companies, from the health industry, anything we're told is for our actual health benefit.
99% of the time.
It's right. All designed to be geared for a specific agenda and to make you think a certain way. There's a reason why they want to inject kids now with 76 vaccines by the time you're 18 years old. There's a reason why they told you during COVID that there was no option for anything whatsoever for a health standpoint. The only thing you could do is sit in your house, live in fear, wait for them to give you instructions. If you had to leave your house, put on a mask and wait for a vaccine to be rolled out. That's literally verbatim what they told everybody to do. Then you had doctors come out and say, wait a minute. We're getting great results with vitamin C. Intravenously, we're stacking quercetin and zinc with D3. It's working incredibly well. I've told you guys before, that's another thing too why it's so important, is that it improves zinc uptake with quercetin. It's one of the reasons why we have the quercetin antioxidant formula, and we basically recommend stacking it with zinc for health reasons as far as for nutrition. And so all these things started coming out. What happened? Mainstream media said, no. You can't talk about that. That's fake news. Well, you understand, we've had 100 patients with COVID. We've given them vitamin C intravenously with zinc and D3, and 100 of them have survived and walked out. No, peasant. You can't say that. That's fake news. Well, why is it fake news? It's truthful. 100 people got COVID. 100 people survived with the stack. No. We didn't approve that, and scientists have said it's fake news. So we're now blocking you, we're banning you, we're deplatforming you, and we're going to take your medical license because you're speaking misinformation. How is it misinformation if 100 people catch COVID and 100 people survive on a stack with vitamin C, D3, and zinc? How is that misinformation? That's real-world analysis and facts that came about. this is what they've done now, and exactly what I've talked about with 1984 Orwellian aspect. Once you can get the population to believe nothing they see and believe nothing they hear and only believe what the all-powerful regime is telling them to focus on, you have now completely taken over a country with tyranny, period. And that is why it is so important to do your own research and go in and make sure you're questioning the narrative. Like with D3, I talked to you guys about, this is a study that came out a month and a half ago, so I'm referring back to it. The new study suggests that the current recommended daily dose of 600 IUs of D3 is nowhere near enough to prevent or address vitamin D3 deficiency in the general population. Instead, the European research team suggested boosting it to a minimum of 2,000 IUs a day to combat certain diseases and prevent D3 deficiency. Now, 2,000, in my opinion, is still a very low dosage. I take the 10,000 K2 pretty much almost every single day. My D3 stays around, I think last time my blood work was around 58, and it fluctuates a little bit up and down some when I get blood work. And so what's funny, though, is they've said for decades now, 600 IUs, that's all you need, 600 IUs. But then we're having a massive D3 deficiency epidemic across the country with pregnant women and everybody alike. Oh, no. It's nothing serious. That's fake news. That's misinformation. Well, now you've got doggone European research team saying 2,000 IUs is the minimum you need to take. So, again, just because CNN or just because bobblehead Fauci goes in and tells you this is what you have to do doesn't mean you have to do it. You have the ability to make your own decisions. You are American. You are free. You are made in the image of God Almighty. You can actually make your own decisions on what you feel is best for you and your family. I know it's a crazy topic nowadays that people don't want to talk about. You can make your own decisions. You don't have to be a peasant that lives like they tell you to live. Wake up, open your mind up out of the matrix, and continue to do more and more research. There's an article here earlier as well. It came out in the Journal of Comprehensive Reviews in Food and Science, Food and Safety, and it was in Indian researchers cataloged more than 8 separate research-proven health benefits that zinc plays in the body. And you know what's funny? One of the first ones was the brain. They said studies showed that zinc can actually function as an antidepressant and that patients with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's had a lower than average level of zinc. Blood sugar. Zinc plays a role in regulating blood sugar and blood pressure in the arteries. Blood sugar, blood pressure and blood sugar, going back to that, plays a synthesis, secretion, and storage of insulin. Zinc has been linked to higher rates of low zinc has been linked to higher rates of associated conditions. Healing. Zinc is crucial for healing, especially wounds. Liver. Zinc deficiency has been connected with both alcohol and non-alcoholic liver disease, including cirrhosis. Hence why we have a high dose of zinc in the GHI cleanse. Pneumonia. 2004 study found that increasing zinc levels in pneumonia patients sped up recovery and shortened hospital time. Pregnancy. Even minor zinc deficiencies are linked to worsening maternal and fetal outcomes. I talked about that earlier. Do your own research. And I can pretty much tell you now, anytime the mainstream media tells you to do something, you probably need to do the opposite. And that's what we're all coming to the conclusion of, and we have for years. And I think if anything showed us that, it's what we saw during COVID, Dad, with the level of misinformation they put out there.
Information is just, it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be bad. It's just information.
It's what it is.
It's what it is.
And everybody has a right to information.
The problem is when they skew the information, then it becomes propaganda.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, Jim Rohn said it this way. You know, he said, if you tell somebody bad news, it's not necessarily, you know, bad news. It's just news. And you have to, how you take it. It's like he said, you know, he would see a, you know, garden that was filled with weeds. You remember this analogy? And he would say, you know, that's a weed infested garden. And some people would come up and say, well, it's a beautiful garden. He goes, no, it's not. It's full of weeds. And that can be a beautiful garden.
And if you want it to be a garden of weeds, it's still a successful garden of weeds.
Yeah, it is. And that's the thing.
It's how you perceive it.
And what we have is the media is a garden of weeds.
Yeah.
It's just full of junk. It's like the tares, the Bible calls it, in the wheat. And the angels are coming at the end and basically figure out how to get through it all. You know, we have, you know, a lot of good information with a lot of bad information. And the problem is that you have to sort through it. And if you're not used to reading through it, it's like code breakers in World War II. They get like 30% of the code and have to try to extrapolate what the rest of the code meant. That's how they figured out what was going to happen with Pearl Harbor and after Pearl Harbor with Battle of Midway. You know, and you know, all the different things that they had to do. It's a great movie, by the way, Midway. You know, but this, I got to do something a little bit lighter. Weekend in Ohio. Two women charged with gross abuse of a corpse. A dead guy. After driving a dead man to the bank to make a withdrawal.
Oh, man.
Now, the reason I bring up stories like this.
Gosh.
Not that it's not macabre, because it's very macabre. But it's like Weekend with Bernie's. And it says, the plot weekend at Bernie's playout this week in Ohio when two women reportedly propped up a dead man in their car to withdraw hundreds of dollars from his bank account, according to
hundreds of dollars.
When they were done with the dead man, they dropped his corpse off at a local hospital. I guess they didn't put him in the freezer and do it again. The police chief, Robert Shell, told the Star Beacon before dropping him off, they went through a bank drive-thru with him propped up in the passenger seat so they could tell the teller, so the teller could see them. And then they tried to withdraw money from his account. The bank had allowed this previously as long as they were accompanied by him. And then there's pictures of these women. And boy, they're ugly. Just, I'm not picking on them, but you know.
They
just,
probably
you
needed know, the $100 more than he did.
And I can see why they're hanging out with a dead guy. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. It's awful. When the women bought the dead man, basically 80-year-old Douglas Laban, to the emergency room, the medical staff were initially unaware of his identity. However, authorities later managed to track down these names of these two women who dropped the body off and were able to identify him. They reported he had passed away at his residence, as per the police records. They were basically charged with convicted in reckless assault, possession of drug paraphernalia, criminal trespass, driving, those kind of people. And so it's an interesting story. So we had Weekend at Bernie's for real this time with a dead corpse to withdraw money from the bank account. And I thought I would just lighten that up before the next story, because now we've got a whole bunch of these top people withdrawing a whole bunch of money from their accounts and selling a whole bunch of stock. And we're talking tens of billions of dollars of money that's being sold right now in the market. This is exactly what happened in 1928, 1929. The quote-unquote bloodline families and the money that was out there was told to sell stock before the market crashed. Just a heads up. And then one more story. It said, I would rather die hot than live ugly. Tanning mania returns. Now, I know.
Say tanning mania?
Tanning. Like, everybody's going to these sunbeds now. Mm-hmm. Now, I use sunbeds when I was on the seminar circuit. I did. And you look better with a suntan, especially when you got this pasty white German skin. You know, I feel like I'm kind of like, if my eyes are totally blue, I'd be like, you know, white and blue everywhere. And the crazy part about this is that, you know, I used to do the sunbed, and now I'm paying the price, and I have to have constant treatment, you know, at the doctor's office, and, you know, as far as microneedling to get the spots off my face. And works very well, by the way, the microneedling does. But the reality is that if I had known that was going to happen when I was doing the tanning bed, I probably would have just gone up there as a pasty white German, Austin. I mean, you know.
Well, the problem is a lot of people don't realize the same thing goes back to bodybuilding and stuff like that. When you get on stage and there's all those lights up there, if you're already pasty white, golly, but you look like Casper running around in a suit.
I'm about as white as this bottle, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm talking on health and fitness. I have to be tanned. And I did. I looked a lot better. But the reality is now that tanning mania returns, I'd rather die hot than live ugly. I had another friend of mine say, if you can't flex it, you need to tan it. In other words, you got to just tan the fat. And so I get a kick out of all of this stuff when people come and say stuff like this. And it's always the young people that are doing this in their 20s and 30s. Quote, it's a symbol of health. It wreaks havoc on your body. It yields a youthful glow, but it also yields wrinkles and makes your skin look like leather. It's a marker of status and also the subject of mockery. It covers up flaws and also exacerbates them. And desire for it that generates billions of dollars a year. So am I recommending that you use a tanning bed? Absolutely not. This is a big 0-0 on my part. Stay out of the sun, heat of the day. If you're working outside, which I did a lot when I was young also, try to use long sleeve white shirts, but be careful with the white too, because it reflects the sun back into your face. Always carry a hat. Always use, you know, really good organic sunscreen. Don't use the stuff with PABA in it. And then the sun, though, is necessary. We talked about it earlier with the D3, but that's in the early morning hours and the late evening hours. It's fine to get in the sun, but stay away from the blistering sun, especially down here in Florida if you go on a Caribbean beach vacation and you decide that you're pasty white and you want to have a golden bronze tan within a week on a vacation on a cruise ship, and then a week later you're still pasty white again. What was the point of that besides the skin damage? Think through that one with me, buddies. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad. So avoid all of that stuff. What do you think, Austin, about being pasty white or doing a tanning bed?
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously, get outside and get some sun. You know, is an important thing. If you're back in training and bodybuilding, you got
here we
be
go.
Tan.
Here comes.
Tanning beds are not recommended.
Every once in a while, you still use one.
Yeah, occasionally. I really try not to do any more of that as I've gotten older now. It definitely gives you a lot of wrinkles and fine lines.
I'm gonna start calling. Yeah, you're older. You're in your 30s. I'm gonna start calling you Ancient of Days.
Yeah. This is funny though. This is a great article. Now, ATF and their infinite stupidity. Never gets any better. Kyle Rittenhouse now posted a video that has gotten a significant amount of views, which he blasted ATF firearm expert Chris Bort for being able to fail to field strip a Glock handgun during the Face the Nation appearance. I made fun of Chris the other day because this guy is a complete and total moronic piece of garbage. The fact that you're the ATF's key weapon expert and you cannot disassemble a Glock, which is the easiest handgun in existence to disassemble. He was trying to show how criminals could take various parts of guns and they can add them with ghost guns and we're going to do all this. And he spends like 10 seconds trying to field strip a Glock. Couldn't get it. So he puts it down, grabs another one, actually manages to field strip that one. However, he couldn't get the slide to match with a different frame that he was trying to prove. So he kind of just like puts it aside. Oh, but we'll move on to that one now. Well, yeah, bad guys have guns.
They should have lubed that Glock.
They should have done a couple takes on it first. I mean, but this it just again shows you that you got individuals in positions of power that do not be in positions of power. Also, too, in other news, this is why I give everybody a heads up on this. Florida authorities shoot a nuisance alligator after it bites off a fisherman's hand down here in Leesburg. It's interesting. Guy was fishing, and this is a crazy one. It's only a 9-foot gator. He was bass fishing, and basically a gator came up and started to go after him. And I guess he tried to push the gator back, which, by the way, this is the state of Florida. You don't really try to push gators back. If they're trying to kill you or eat you, you just shoot them. People have this idea that you're going to go wrestle with like a 9, 10, 12-foot gator in the water. And you're going to be this, you know, crazy crocodile hunter. I'm telling you, if you don't have experience doing that, you're not a professional doing it.
You're not Tarzan.
Stay away from these things. But anyways, he basically got his hand death rolled on him, ripped it off of the forearm. It was a nasty wound. They were blurring some of it out. And so basically Fish and Wildlife found the gator, and they executed the gator, which good riddance. But I was actually shocked about that. This is only a 9-foot gator, which I've killed many that are much, much bigger than that. And generally, they don't tend to get insanely aggressive until they're about double digits. But this guy must have been hungry, or maybe mating season where they're at. That's another rule of thumb. If you're out hiking or you're walking, just giving you guys heads up, and you see a gator, first off, don't be trying to approach them. They're not toys. They're not cats. Pets. They're not pets. They're very, very heavy, aggressive, advanced reptiles that can kill you and eat you very fast. And if you start seeing them hiss or they start making their death call, which you can look it up online, they're pretty creepy when they start making it. If they start making sounds like that, don't approach them further. Don't walk around them and try to get a selfie with them. And, hey, I'm going to get a photo of this gator. I'm going to post it online because I'm cool, man. So just heads up on that. But I thought it was interesting. Somebody else got bit in Florida, the gator. These articles don't usually make mainstream news. It's made Breitbart. But, again, I like to bring them up just to remind people they're not pets.
He was a few months ago, I was walking on a trail here in town. It used to be a railroad track. It goes through a swamp, the green swamp. And there was a fence up, and there was a gator laying on the other side of this 5-foot, you know, chain link fence. He's about 6-7 feet long. Wasn't a big boy, but he's big enough to get your attention.
Yeah.
And I started talking to him. Yes, and I talked to the gator. I mean, does that
mean the gator whisperer?
Yeah, gator whisperer. I wasn't whispering to him. I was talking to him, and I looked at him and I said, "Boy," he starts hissing at me.
Oh yeah.
And I said, "There weren't witnesses around here. You'd be in trouble." I was carrying a very advanced weapon. What do you think, Austin? We'll close this thing up.
Close it up. Yes, my friends, stay strong, stay safe, especially if you decide to visit Florida. We're very busy, though, very packed down here, so there's no vacancy. So just
please don't go to Florida.
It's spring break right now. Don't make it worse.
Don't make it worse.
Thank you, guys. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. We're here to help you out the best we can. Be sure to check out the product of the week, zinc glycinate. I'll have that up later on this afternoon. If you guys have any questions, give us a call. Be sure to check out the other kits we have on the front page, including resveratrol, the body fat burning stack. Have an awesome night, my friends, and we'll talk to you again
tomorrow, as always.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio. 22,500 miles above the planet. This is the Global Star Radio Network.